On today's episode of the Natty Boys Podcast, we talk Buckeyes and Bearcats football, how Adrian Peterson may not be the biggest fan of Sean Payton, and a Thursday night football preview of the Bengals and Texans. We also have some baseball stats for you and talk about the streaking Indians and Dodgers. We end the show with some Kobe talk, and our fantasy draft is of shoes we'd rather play basketball in than Under Armour, thanks to Kevin Durant's recent comments. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Natty Boys Podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
Hey Siri, who owns Ohio Stadium?
It's Baker Mayfield.
Oh, shit.
So today is Thursday, September 14th, and my spirit has been crushed by Siri.
Why is Apple doing that to you, man?
I don't know. I have no idea. Apple is trolling me, and it's not okay.
Does it tie into Wikipedia? Is that what Wikipedia says?
I don't know. It pulls up information from his Wikipedia page. I haven't gone into looking up, like,
that's awesome.
If it says that. But, yeah, that's...
So when should we expect Siri's apology?
Siri can go fuck herself.
Man, that's brutal. So the apology is bullshit, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I mean, he didn't need to apologize for that.
No.
I said on Twitter, the only thing he needed to apologize for was a poor plant. And I know people said that, you know, it's field turf, so you can't really get... But, you know, rule number 76.
There's 6 inches of crushed rubber underneath that grass. You can get something to stick in there.
Rule number 76, no excuses, play like a champion.
That's right.
Oh, I saw Hefe firmly planted in field turf for like 4 years, so...
Ouch.
Yeah.
There was no need to apologize for that. It was a heat of the moment thing. And I mean, if I was an Oklahoma fan, I would have fucking loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say that was 1000% a coach move. Coach probably came up to him and said, "Do you realize we might play them later on in the year? Do you want to just go on and apologize and kind of do the right thing?" And he didn't have to apologize for it, but I think that's the only reason he did, is because he's probably thinking, well, I don't want to piss him off because we're probably going to have to face him again.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was a douche kind of move, but again, that's because I'm a little bit biased there. I didn't actually see it happen. I pretty much turned the TV off as soon as the clock hit zero, but I saw it all over social media after that.
Go take your frustrations out with a 30-pack.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I think I fell asleep within like 20 minutes, but that's the beauty of getting old. The whole thing that bothered me about it is it seemed like he was so like offended by the fact that the Buckeyes sang Carmen, Ohio in Oklahoma last year when they won. But Ohio State sings that after every game, win or lose.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they were doing it to disrespect Oklahoma. But I guess he kind of felt like he had to get his revenge, and that's what he did. And I agree. I think part of it was just him getting caught up in the heat of the moment. It was a huge win for them, so he was like, oh, fuck it, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
I don't even think the apology was necessary, but...
No, it wasn't.
But whatever.
And if you're a UO fan, it's probably a little annoying that you rallied around this guy for all week, and now all of a sudden he's backtracking, so now you have to eat your own words on Twitter because, well... Someone probably don't even have a phone to use Twitter, but
yeah.
So OSU moved to number 8 in the polls this week, and they play Army this weekend. So hopefully they'll have a pretty good shot at rebounding this weekend.
Yeah, but this is one of those games where I think they'll win, but Army's such a unique style of offense with the triple option.
Yeah,
it's something that you can't really prepare for it until you're in that week, so you have a limited time, so you're going to get limited looks at it. So it could be one of those things where they struggle, especially early on, and people are going to say, okay, well, they struggled against Indiana. They got crushed by Oklahoma, and now they're struggling against Army. Maybe OSU is not that good. Even if they do struggle against Army, I don't think it's going to be ultimately going to be an indicator of how their season ends up. But, I mean, unfortunately, people are going to be looking for them to bounce back in this one, and, sure, and they may not see what they want to see.
If they struggle against Army, does that start the debate? Could the Browns beat Ohio State?
Yeah, it's possible.
I don't want to hear about that on SportsCenter for 6 months.
I mean, Army has played a couple powerhouses to start the season. They beat Fordham and Buffalo.
I think they play North Korea next week.
Yeah.
The game of all games. Could be the last game of the season.
They beat Fordham 64-6 and Buffalo 21-17. So I agree with Woody. I do think the triple option seems to fool every team that faces it. There's only a couple teams in the entire college football that, you know, the only two I can think of are Army and Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
So, I think they will struggle at first, but I think they ultimately roll to a pretty easy victory.
Doesn't Navy run something weird like that too?
They
run some weird wing T type of thing.
Yeah, the wing T.
It's not like a full. It's not like a legit triple option like that. But it's just that's such a weird offense. Like I don't.
Yeah, I watched Georgia Tech a week or so ago, and it threw me off. Like,
was that Tennessee that they hung with for a while?
Yeah, and Tennessee just could not figure out the option to save their lives. Like, they just were not reading anything with it, and it took them about four quarters to finally settle down on defense. So
better than five.
Yeah.
Well, keeping it local with the college football, we have a local heavy air quotes rivalry that's getting shoved down our throats. I don't think anybody on either side truly views this as a rivalry, even though they have a rivalry trophy and everything, and they're so close to each other. But Miami University and Cincinnati play this
Miami
week.
Of Ohio.
Miami of Ohio, yes. I don't know if you heard this or not, but there's a lot of coaches that have come through there, the cradle of coaches.
Yeah.
Somehow they're never good, but they have all these great coaches come through.
I heard Big Ben went there.
Yes. There are 5 to 6 women that can verify that.
Can you really call this a rivalry, though? It's like calling the bug versus the windshield a rivalry.
Was it 11 straight for UC right now?
It is 11 straight. Unfortunately, Miami has the overall record.
Really?
I think they're like 55-50 or something.
There were some really dark years in UC football, though.
Yeah,
there were.
This game each year has been going on since the 1880s. So, there is a large history to it, but to call it a rivalry, I think, is a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
They also just announced that they will continue the game each season up through 2029. So we still have, 12 more years of this game taking place, and they'll probably extend it, further than that upcoming here soon.
Yeah, football's going to be extinct by then.
Yeah.
Probably.
They're going to be playing flag football.
Concussion.
Lacrosse is the next big thing.
Wait, I thought soccer was supposed to take off.
What's soccer?
The real football.
It's that sport that everybody in Cincinnati was excited about for about 6 months, and now all of a sudden it's died out. So,
arena football, okay.
Yeah, arena football.
So going from college to the NFL, we saw in Monday night's contest between the Saints and Vikings that Adrian Peterson isn't too happy in his new home with Sean Payton at head coach.
No. That it was funny to see. I don't know if you caught the video or not, but there's a time I think during the first half where Peterson was clearly not happy about the number of touches he was getting, and they caught on camera him jawing at Sean Payton, the Saints head coach, as he was walking by, and Peyton kind of turned around, and you can't tell if Sean Payton says anything or just looks at Peterson, but Peterson stops talking and just basically gives Sean Payton a death stare.
Yeah. You kind of saw him a couple times kind of trying to ease his way onto the field, too. I don't know if you guys caught that while you were watching it, but he would kind of step out on the, you know, the white of the sideline, and he would kind of ease his way in and then just kind of come back and laugh. So, who knew this was going to happen where Adrian couldn't take a backseat role, you know, at a new team?
Yeah. And I don't know. If I'm Adrian Peterson's son, I'm getting on the phone with Sean Payton and letting him know what can happen if you don't make him happy.
Yeah.
That's, I saw a lot of jokes about that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. Someone tweeted out the clip, and every single response was some kind of switch pun.
Did Sean Payton have to go get his own switch? Yeah. Like Jesus.
You know, I saw after this game that a reporter asked AP about, like, basically, like, what he was saying to the coach and what his criticisms were. And, like, all Peterson said about it was that Sean Payton seemed very receptive to his ideas. So I don't know what the hell that means, but.
Yeah.
Well, in this, I think a lot of this was an issue with him being back in Minnesota, too. If this was just a random opponent, it might not have been as big of a deal for Adrian, but he was quoted as saying he wanted to go in there and just destroy Minnesota and run the ball all over him.
Yeah.
And to not even really get the chance, I think, is what led to a lot of this frustration and the death stare. And I think at the end of the day, they're going to find a good role for Adrian. I think he's going to be a good complement in that offense, and I think they're going to be all right. But all the extra circumstances surrounding this matchup in week one, going back to Minnesota for the first time, I think that's obviously what fueled most of this, and on his side, at least, I would think.
One funny thing from this game is that someone is going to give Sam Bradford a contract again. He's going to get paid for a third time with a ridiculous amount of money that he does not deserve or hasn't earned.
Which jersey template has the best look for his sleeve situation?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, Peyton rocked it in Denver.
Yeah.
I mean,
stripes Peyton wouldn't work well because then it's awkward looking. I could
Eli's
see.
Rocked it in New York.
Yeah. Maybe the Cardinals because they're vertical stripes on the way down.
Yeah.
And Carson's on his way out. I don't even know who they are. John Skelton, is he still around out there? That's probably
I don't know who the backup is.
That's probably like a 2007 reference.
Sticking with the Cardinals, it looks like they're going to be needing some backups. David Johnson dislocated his wrist, and I've seen a lot of different predictions about how long he's going to be out, and it's anywhere from like 2 games to the rest of the season.
And Bruce Arians said he hoped by Christmas, which I think Christmas is week 15.
And I think they're actually putting him on the IR. So with that, you have what? At least 12 weeks, is it, that he has to be?
Something like that.
So, it's one of those things where he's going to be out because he has to be out for at least a significant amount of time, even if he can come back at some point this year. And I think you get a limited number of people that can come back, too. I'm sure.
And you have to designate them from day one, right?
Right.
You can't
pretty sure.
I don't think you can throw them all on there and then pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, as we're recording this, they did just sign Chris Johnson. Officially.
Yeah.
So we're recording this on Tuesday.
They don't need to know industry secrets.
But Chris Johnson was just officially assigned to the Cardinals.
And he was on the Cardinals last year, and I don't think
he's had a decent couple seasons for them.
Do you know he ran a fast 40
he's
at
gone
the combine?
Off, but
it's nothing compared to what he was in Tennessee, though.
No, without a doubt. I think he's been serviceable, and that's what I think they're kind of looking for. Because Carson does have a lot of weapons.
I doubt that he kind of comes in and takes over the starting role even at this point.
No, I agree.
It sounds like the bulk of the carries are going to go to Kerwin Williams, which I don't even know who that is. I know he makes paint, but that's all
that's
I really know about him.
God damn it.
So I'm one of the unlucky ones that has to drop David Johnson in my fantasy league because I was lucky enough to get the overall pick, and I put lucky enough in quotes because my season's fucked now.
Yeah,
but I put in a waiver claim for Kerwin Williams just to see what he brings. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of the guy.
And that's what sucks with the whole David Johnson scenario. Everyone that took him in fantasy. We're not trying to dive too much into fantasy football right here because that's covered everywhere else on the planet. But if you sit there and wait for him to come back, he's coming back in the playoffs of fantasy football.
Yeah, right.
And you're not going to be able to get to the playoffs with a bench spot tied up by a running back that's not even going to come back. And you don't even know if he's going to come back in a limited role because they need to limit his carries because of his wrist.
Right.
Or you don't know if he's going to come back at all. So if you're in a league that has limited bench spots,
You're cutting them loose.
Yeah, that sucks.
And, you know, depending on where the Cardinals are at in the year, if they're not in a playoff race, then they may just say, you know what, screw it, we're not going to bring
them
back.
Down.
Yeah, so you could be waiting all that time and end up not getting anything out of them at all.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
I definitely think there are fantasy owners across the nation kind of collectively just kind of putting their heads down in their hands and sighing in despair.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kind of like we all did all day Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, any fantasy owners that had Bengals players were doing the same thing on Sunday.
Not just fantasy owners, fucking every single Bengals
fan
in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always a tough game to play Baltimore, but none of us expected them to come out and just lay an egg. It was bad.
Well, that's the thing. It's not always tough to play Baltimore recently because the Bengals have done well against Baltimore recently.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
So that was pretty unexpected. I forget... It was, the first time since 2011 that Baltimore won in Cincinnati? Was that how long it's been?
Yeah, it was something like that.
And that was Andy Dalton's rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think he's got a pretty good track record at home against Baltimore.
Yeah, and I think they actually beat Baltimore. I'm not 100% sure, but I think they beat Baltimore on the road that year to kind of make things even out.
Yeah. So they have the Texans coming into town tonight to play the Bengals, and looking at their injury report for the Texans, that first game was pretty brutal for them. They have five guys in the concussion protocol. Brian Cushing, a wide receiver, and three of their tight ends are probably sitting out the game because of concussions.
Which, that's a small victory for the Bengals right there, because they can't cover tight ends.
Yeah,
so.
Seriously. Yeah.
No matter how good the tight ends are, they just...
Yeah, yeah. No, they just neglect tight ends for whatever reason.
So one of the things we saw in the first Texans game was a mixture of Tom Savage and Deshaun Watson both getting playing time. It's looking like it's probably going to be Watson that comes in as the starter. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that that's how the game's going to end, because I have a feeling that, like, if Deshaun has a shitty half... that they're going to do the exact same thing that they did to him in the first game and bring Savage in at halftime.
Yeah. And I feel like this is classic Texans. I feel like they have a lot of trouble, just like the Browns, picking a quarterback that they can stick with. And a lot of it's been because of injuries, and it's not all on them like it is, I feel like, with the Browns. But I feel like this is a classic Texans storyline.
But those quarterback. Those quarterbacks that are no good always beat the Bengals.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Yeah, we struggle with them. Getting beat by the likes of TJ Yates and...
Yeah, the Bengals and rookie quarterbacks, and especially rookie or first-time quarterbacks from the Texans, don't bode well for them. So, yeah, it does make me nervous.
So one of the roster moves for the Bengals that is a little perplexing is putting Elliott on the practice squad. I think he's getting picked up somewhere, right?
Eagles. Yeah, the Eagles signed him.
So the thing I saw with the Eagles signing him is that they are placing their kicker on the IR with the intent to return, just like they did with, just like the Cardinals did with David Johnson. So, I mean, there's a chance that once their kicker comes back, Elliott's cut again, and he goes right back to a practice squad if we claim him.
I think that he'll... If he has a full, you know, 7-8 games, whatever it's going to be, kicking in the NFL, with what they think he can be, I think the Bengals don't even get a shot to bring him back, unless Randy Bullock is on his way out too, and they swap him out at that point.
Yeah.
But I think this screws the Bengals' plan, and I took a little bit of glee in the fact that this happened today, even though I hated to lose Elliott, because I thought this was a stupid idea because I knew someone was going to take him.
Right.
So I think you can always get Fat Randy off of the waiver, not even off the waiver wire. He would have been sitting at home eating Cheetos if the Bengals cut him.
Yeah, he wasn't on now. Team last year. I mean, that's why we picked him up.
Yeah. So, and then you get a fifth-round pick in your kicker, Jake Elliott. You think he's going to be the kicker of the future. You put him on the practice squad, which is basically just a buffet for any team that gets a quick injury replacement. So now he's gone, and he may never come back.
Yeah. So now you wasted a fifth-round pick.
Yep. And if what if for whatever reason Bullock doesn't work out, you know, if they can stick with him for a few extra weeks, even if he's doing bad, I mean, they could always go out there and get, like, Josh Brown. He'd be a viable guy kind of come in and, you know, he may not be – you know, the best on the field guy, but he can be a leader in the clubhouse and kind of, you know, teach guys the right way to do things. So that's Bengals seem to like that type. So
speaking of Josh Brown, Woody, I've got some good news for you.
Yeah.
Pac-Man's back this game.
Ooh, good.
Yeah.
What's the over under? Okay. So I'm throwing this on you guys really quick, and I'm trying to think of the best way. I've got two scenarios that I want to get your projections on. When's the first quote, and I'm going to do heavy air quotes for everybody that's watching the simulcast, the heavy air quote, the first bullshit call on him with penalties, like a pass interference or something, where he loses his fucking mind and does the whole, you know, pass interference signal, like repeatedly pointing at the other guy. Is that gonna probably first quarter? I'm thinking.
Yeah, I would say second defensive drive. Yeah,
so and then
first or second series,
and then how long until he gets his first personal foul, and then does the one arm like he's throwing something on the ground, even though he's got nothing in his hand.
the personal foul, I'm gonna go when Burfict's back. I think the dynamic duo. I think that's
they feed off each other.
Yeah.
Yes.
The one thing I saw was that Pac-Man had said that he's coming back and he's bringing an attitude back to the defense.
Oh, good.
Which normally you would think, all right, that's good. We need someone to spark the defense, get that attitude. But like with his attitude, like that's not what you want. Like, and I get what he's trying to say, but I don't want it to be his Pac-Man attitude. Like, just because that's not what we need.
So something that we're going to be doing for the rest of the NFL season is picking a few games out besides the Bengals game and giving you our predictions against the spread. So we're always going to do the Bengals game, and then we're going to pick two more. This week we picked the Cowboys versus the Denver Broncos and the Steelers against the Vikings. So the Bengals are favored by 6.5 points over the Texans, which is a little surprising to me. Mm-hmm. I know the Texans had a pretty shitty debut, but that line still seems high to me considering how bad the Bengals' debut was. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick the Texans and plus the points. So that's my first pick is the Texans and the points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a little concerned the Bengals could even score 6.5 points. But I agree with DB. I do think the Bengals win, but not by more than 6.5. So I'm going to take the Texans and the points as well.
I'm going to take exactly what Woody just said. I think the Bengals win in a 6-point game, so they don't quite cover. I think you're going to see like a 19-13 score. It's going to be something very weird, a lot of field goals.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know, we didn't even get to see Randy Bullock warm up. So we didn't even get into field goal scenario. Well, we did. Whatever. I'm not even going to go down that road again. But I think it's going to be like an ugly win for the Bengals within 6.5. So, but Houston.
Yep, we embrace debate on the pod, so I'm going to agree with all three of you and go Texans. I see it as like a really ugly victory. But, yeah, I just don't see them getting in a position where they get, unless their offense just takes off, which I just don't see it. They look so bad, and both their lines are so bad, I just don't see it happening.
No.
I think it's just going to be a defensive highlighted game, even with the injuries and the, you know, the people in concussion protocol. I think it's still just going to be highlighted by defense.
Yep. All right.
So the next game we're picking is Dallas -2.5 at Denver. If I'm going first, I'm taking the Cowboys to cover that 2.5-point spread. I don't think that the Broncos showed much on offense last night since it was a Monday night game. And I think that the Cowboys easily beat the Broncos in Denver.
You mean 3 nights ago, right, TB?
Yeah, right. Definitely not. Right.
I agree. I don't think the Broncos are really that good this year. I think they still got to figure out the quarterback situation. With the Cowboys having Zeke, I think they're one of the best teams in the league. So even on the road in Denver, I think they win by more than three. So I'm going to go Cowboys as well.
I'm going to keep it boring. I'm going Cowboys.
Jesus.
I hate picking against a home team, especially early in the season like this. But they've got too many questions in Denver. Their defense isn't good enough to make up for not having a quarterback that's come out as the guy. And as long as Zeke's playing, I think the Cowboys are one of the better teams in the NFL, if not in the – I was going to say in the NFC, if not the NFL. So Dallas on the road.
I look for Dez to have a bounce-back game. He kind of got shut down by Janoris Jenkins. Got away with a – Jenkins, I feel like, got away with a lot of heavy contact. I think Dez has a bounce-back game, and I think the Cowboys roll – easily in Denver. Mac had said with Zeke Elliott playing and that 1-2 punch, I just don't see anybody stopping them. And their defense has been playing really well. Sean Lee was a one man wrecking crew the other night. So yeah, I'm definitely going Cowboys.
So that's, we've had all the same picks for both games.
I'm sure this last game will be different.
The last one is the Steelers at home, favored by 6.5 points over the Vikings. I'm taking the Vikings plus the points. I think the Vikings win this game outright.
Ooh, embrace the bait. I think Sammy Sleeves falters. I think that going on the road for Minnesota against Pittsburgh is going to be too much to handle right now. I think Pittsburgh wins. I don't know if it's much more than that 6.5.
More than a touchdown?
Yeah, I think that it'll be a two-score game.
I don't know who wins this one straight up, but I don't think it's going to be more than a touchdown game either way. So I'm going to go with the Vikings as well. I wasn't impressed with the way the Steelers played against Cleveland. They only ended up winning by three. I think physically they dominated the Browns, but the Browns are awful. I think the Vikings are a lot better than the Browns. So I don't think they blow out Minnesota by any means. So I'm going to go Minnesota in the points.
Yep. I'm going Minnesota, and I think they're going to win by a field goal.
That's what they do on NFL Network for a
little. I think the secondary for Minnesota is a lot better than Cleveland's secondary. So I don't think that you're going to see the show through the air that you saw. I still think Le'Veon is going to struggle. Because he was too busy making rap albums in the off season,
smoking joints.
So, yeah, I'm going Vikings with by three.
All right, so heading into next week, it'll be Mac by himself in last place as Hefe, DB, and I are all tied for first.
Actually, Mac will be 1-0, and all three of us will be 0-3.
You mean 1-2?
1-2. Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
And if you are super fan out there, if you have any ideas for bets for this season-long challenge, hit us up on Twitter at Milliron Sports. Let us know what you think of a good punishment for the loser would be. What would you most like to see Hefe do?
Yeah.
Even though
I will kiss G Money.
Even though he picked the same as two of our other hosts, he's gonna get automatic point deduction for just being him.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I've got a red stat for you guys.
Nerd.
They suck.
For the first time in franchise history, the Reds have 6 players who have hit 20 home runs. Votto, Schebler, Duvall, Suarez, Scooter, and Zach Cozart. Cozart hit his 20th on Tuesday night. To join that. This is the first time in the history of the Reds team that they've had that many home runs by players.
Do you have any idea how many teams in baseball history have done that with 6 players or more with 20 or more home runs?
No.
I'd be curious to know, because I'd imagine there's probably not a lot.
Yeah. I think that this year, with all the home runs that have been being hit in general, that other teams have done it just this year. But yeah, historically, no fucking idea.
So, but I'm going to stick with that. I don't think many teams have done it. So this makes the Reds probably one of the best teams in the history of baseball right now, right?
Yeah. They got to be up there.
So
could they beat the 27 Yankees?
Ooh. Yes.
Could they beat the 2017 Cleveland Indians?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think anybody can beat the Indians right now. As much as it pains me to say, they just got their 20th win on Tuesday when we were recording this.
They're one looking of the, fucking unstoppable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their pitching has been unreal.
One of the stats I found interesting about this streak of theirs was that during the streak, they have hit more home runs than runs that they've allowed total. So wow. That's pretty dominant. Jesus. Yeah.
Now that's a stat.
Yeah.
Sorry that mine fucking sucked, guys.
Witty, is this the first time a team has ever hit more home runs than they've allowed?
Yes.
In the month of September.
Historically.
Historically
yes.
Speaking.
I will say yes.
Interestingly enough, historically.
Without a doubt. Don't fact check me. And don't at me.
No, add us, please. We don't have enough Twitter interaction.
Yes, please add.
So, Mac, how's Edwin Encarnacion doing?
Sucking my dick. I honestly don't care. I hate to wish bad on a team that Jay Bruce is playing on because I like Jay and he's always been a good guy. But I hope that this 20-game win streak is followed by a 20-game losing streak. They probably don't even have 20 games left, but somehow make it happen.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can handle a Cleveland Indians run to the World Series again.
No. I was watching a little bit of the game on Tuesday night, and I've been paying very little attention to baseball in general. When I do, I'm not watching the Indians. So this was the first time I've actually watched Jay Bruce bat in an Indians uniform. And it hurt a little bit to watch. I don't know. Like seeing him in a Mets uniform was weird, but the Indians, it feels
dirty.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah, yeah.
I have not seen that. I haven't seen that happen yet with Bruce.
I've seen some highlights, but it hurt. It stung a little bit.
So the Indians are on one end of the spectrum, and the Dodgers are on the other. They started out really hot in the season, but right now they're in the middle of an 11-game skid, 11 in a row.
And I saw, I forget who it was, someone had put out a stat that in the 19 games in overall standings in baseball, in 19 games, I believe the Indians have made up 15.5 on the Dodgers or something like that.
Only.
I think it was 17.5.
Was that 17
it was,
and a half?
It was Buster. Yeah.
Was that you that retweeted that, Jefe?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's crazy.
I know.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, and the Dodgers seemed so unstoppable in the first half. Like, pitching, everything. Like, they just were tearing the cover off the ball. It just didn't seem like anybody was going to touch them this year.
To me, what this says is that there's still a chance for the Reds. I think their elimination number now is, what, 2? But
that spin I love.
But I mean, if the Indians can do it, why can't the Reds run off a streak of wins and cool. just happen to have
went out, baby?
Just happen to have everybody else that's ahead of them lose every single game and they squeak into the playoffs. I cannot imagine a scenario where that doesn't happen. To be honest with
you, what is the Reds' magic number?
Oh, I was looking that
2.
Up now.
Oh.
I just guessed
the element. While Witty's looking that up. Could the Reds beat Oklahoma football?
Ooh.
In basketball.
In basketball. And capture the flag.
Oh, wow. So this is a lock, basically. I was wrong. Their elimination number is 4. So,
oh, they got
I don't see any combination of them with 4 losses and then the teams ahead of them with 4 wins. So, I don't see how it doesn't happen.
4 home runs in a game for Scooter Gennett, who's also number 4.
Ooh.
Ooh.
quadruple bypass I'm probably going to have to schedule later this year.
Yeah.
I think it's all coming together.
So the Dodgers are doing shitty, but another guy in L.A. is making my heart swell. Came out.
Do you need that quadruple bypass too?
I was going to say the owner of In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah.
The Lakers recently announced that they will be retiring Kobe's jersey in December before a Warriors game. And they also announced, after my plea to them, which you can check out at millironsports.com, that they will be retiring both numbers 8 and 24 that he wore during his storied career.
If I'm Kobe, I come back for a game this season, wear a different number, and really force their hand to retire a third number.
Yeah.
He ought to try to wear number 34, so he has to retire Shaq's number.
Ooh.
With his name on the back.
Yeah. What was that random number Jordan had?
That's 45. What I was going to ask.
45.
Bulls,
yeah.
Did they retire 45, or is that still?
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think
only,
it's been issued.
He didn't wear it for very long.
Yeah, because he switched back to 23.
Yeah.
Whereas Kobe, like you had pointed out in your blog post, DB, he had 10 seasons of 8 and 10 seasons of 24. So
Witty, you were saying that he had played in both 8 and 24. And looking at his numbers, it's in both jerseys. I mean, they're eerily similar to each other.
I don't know. I think 8 and 24 are pretty different numbers. So
okay, looking at the statistics he put up in both jerseys, how about that?
Nerd.
The points, they were both in the 16,000s. I mean, he had split it 10 years in each jersey. You know, in the end of his career, he kind of sat out some seasons with injuries and missed games. But
the one stat that I think matters the most, he had one more in... He had one more of this stat in 8 than he did in 24, and that's rapes.
I fucking knew you were going there. That's true.
That's true.
I'm sorry, I meant to say championships?
Yeah. He did have one more championship in 8 than in 24. I'm excited for Kobe. I think that he obviously deserves to have both of his numbers retired. And, you know, going back to, we had touched on Michael Jordan before, but researching for this blog that I wrote earlier, I learned that Jordan had his number retired by the Chicago Bulls and by the Miami Heat, which I thought was weird, and I had no idea that that was true.
Mm-hmm.
I think after you mentioned that, or after I think you wrote it, you mentioned it in the blog, after I read that, I do remember hearing something about that, because I remember it being odd, too, because he never played for the Miami Heat.
Right.
But
I think that's one of Big Cat's big gripes with Pat Riley. I think something that he's talked about before, yeah.
That's so weird to me that they can, I mean, I guess I understand it, you know, with Jackie Robinson's retired by every single NBA team, and Jackie Robinson in the NBA by every single MLB team. But, you know, if the NBA is going to do it, that's one thing to retire number 23 across the board.
Yeah.
But to just have like one outlier franchise do it. And I mean, the Heat only have three retired numbers in their history. They have Shaq, Alonzo Mourning, and Michael Jordan. And I just think it's a weird move.
It is. And I was trying to think of other instances where this may have occurred. And I know in the NHL, 99 for Gretzky is retired league-wide, mm-hmm. but that's one of those where it's the entire league. It's not just one other obscure team.
Right. And almost nowhere has them hanging in the banner either. It's just kind of not an unwritten rule, but it's just nobody's going to wear that number.
Yeah.
But yeah, they... I'm trying to think. There's something else, some other weird numbers. I forget who it is. There's another. Oh, I know what it was. Cyclones. They retired number 14 for Pete Rez back before the Reds were able to.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but they also retired number 1 for number 1 fan, and goalie still wearing number 1, I think, so whatever.
No respect these days.
No respect. Time out. I found my Jordan story that I got all mixed up.
Too late.
Jordan's number 23 jersey got stolen, and they couldn't find anyone in the crowd or at the gift shop that had a number 23 jersey that would fit him.
So he had to wear number 12.
Yep, that was it. I knew there was something weird with they had to go to the gift shop or something for his jersey.
So I have a theory that I'm working on, guys.
Okay.
And, you know, with all this Lakers talk, my head, you know, my mind starts to wander a little bit. And with Kevin Durant sending some shots at Steph Curry, I'm thinking Durant's going to hop ship and come to the Lakers here soon.
You think so, huh?
That's an interesting theory.
He's been talking some shit about Under Armour shoes, which, you know, has been Steph Curry's bread and butter for the last 4 years.
Yeah, that's...
And...
That's got to make for a hostile environment in the locker room now.
If the Lakers win the championship this year, I think KD probably makes the switch.
Ooh, fuck. Well, well then that shoots a hole right in my theory.
Man, it's going to be... So, we're going to have KD, Lonzo, LeBron, yeah. Chris Paul,
James Harden,
Blake Griffin,
Kristaps Porzingis.
Melo really wants out of Melo. New York.
And yet they still won't be a super team.
No.
Because that's just not LeBron style.
And then somehow Kevin Love's just going to be there too.
Someone's got to carry the bags in the plane. So to quote Kevin Durant on a podcast that he was on a couple weeks ago, not the Natty Boys, it should have been, but he said, nobody wants to play in Under Armours. I mean, he's kind of got a point, but he shouldn't say it if he's trying to still get along with Steph Curry and Under Armour's paying Steph like $400 million or something incredibly dumb.
I think Durant just doesn't really give a fuck. I mean, when you see some of the stuff he says on Twitter, he just kind of, he says what he thinks and he doesn't really care.
Yeah.
I love when he argues back at people. That's what makes it funny to me.
I know.
It's weird to take a shot at an entire shoe company, and I haven't listened to it, so I don't know what conversation they were having.
Right. What context it has.
Yeah, so it could have been, you know, talking about, has anyone ever approached you for a new shoe deal? Because he's just released his Nikes, didn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't he just haven't? So it could have been talking about that. Did anybody else make a play for your shoe deal? And he may have said, no, Reebok didn't really do anything. Nobody wants to play in Under Armour's type of thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it was in, but still, he's got to be a little aware of, of who's paying his superstar teammate more than the team he's playing on themselves. So
So there's a funny story out of China that Woody brought to our attention earlier today, and that's 40-year-old Stephon Marbury is trying to make a comeback to the NBA.
Yeah, speaking of shoes nobody wants to wear
or smell, this thing's
smell.
These things are awful.
Do you want to smell any shoes?
Yeah.
I just mean the Starbears, you had no choice. Like, you wear those things once, it smells like you're walking around with hot garbage on your feet. Like, it was
your
bad.
Feet were livid.
It was bad. Yeah, they were I am excited to see Starbears back on the court though. Do you think it goes anywhere? 40 years old.
No.
No way in hell.
Unless he's been on the Tom Brady diet.
I mean, Vince Carter, but yeah. Because how old is Vince Carter?
63.
He's 40.
Yeah.
But Marbury was drafted the same year as Kobe in 96. So he hasn't, and I mean, he's been playing in China for 4 or 5 years at least.
China.
He hasn't been on an NBA court for a long time. And there's no fucking way in hell that he gets back onto an NBA court.
Yeah, and I don't know how serious he is about it. I guess he posted something originally on Instagram, but it was also on his Twitter account, that just basically said he's working on his comeback to the NBA. The one thing that I think was interesting was the team he's playing on in China terminated his contract, and I'll admit I didn't read the entire story, but it looked like it had something to do with kind of a dispute over like his role with the team. They wanted him to be some kind of like an advisor, I think, and not necessarily a player.
Like almost an ambassador to the game to spread the game over there more than actually playing every night.
Yes, and like I said, I probably should have read more about it, but ultimately that's why they terminated the contract, was essentially a dispute between his role with the team. I think he wanted one thing, they wanted another, and they decided to go their separate ways. And so naturally when people flame out in the China basketball league, they decide, okay, I'm going to go to that secondary league in America, the NBA.
Right.
I mean, if I was over there dominating a bunch of 5'8 dudes, I'd probably think I was ready for the NBA again too. So.
You know, and part of it has to be like him seeing all the money that's been thrown around with these NBA contracts recently. So
yeah.
He probably thinks he can make, you know, I don't know, a crappy team, the Lakers, to for, you know, a small contract where you can get some money. And he's had mental issues in the past. So yep. I'm not going to put it past him that, you know, this isn't just something that he came up with and is very delusional about.
I mean, he's got his shoe logo tattooed on the side of his head, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He was crying to Mariah Carey, I think. I don't remember.
Yeah, something weird like that. Yeah. Yep, that was an interesting little meltdown he had. So best of luck to him. I don't see this comeback happening.
No. I don't think he's going to be coming back from China anytime soon.
So we've had a little bit of talk about Durant saying nobody wants to play in Under Armour's, and we had some Starberry talk. So our fantasy draft this week is of shoes that we would want to play in before we got to Under Armour's. So these are all the shoes that we would pick over the Under Armour brand. And Hefe has the first pick.
I took the obvious choice here. I went with shoes guaranteed to make any kid run faster or jump higher. I chose PF Flyers.
Yep.
No ankle support, but I'm going PF Flyers.
Yeah, you're going to roll your ankle.
I'm blowing my ankle out game two, but I'm going to be jumping higher.
If any of these companies feel like they would like to sponsor the podcast, feel free to get in touch with us. We're at Milliron Sports on Twitter.
Yeah. I'm not Mexican, but my name is Benny, and I'll go by the Jet if it makes any difference.
I think you probably could have said Hispanic instead of Mexican. But...
Yeah. All right, for my first pick... They specialize in boots for the most part, but they also made a gym shoe. Lugs.
Nice.
I don't remember those shoes.
Neither do I.
They almost look like knockoff Timberlands, the boots. Then they started making specialty shoes for... I just remember seeing them because they had the little metal... It's just a plain shoe usually and has a little metal... logo on the ankle area that just says Lugs on it.
Nice.
I never owned a pair, but hey, probably better than Under Armour.
It's gotta be.
Probably, yeah. So Hefe said he took the obvious choice with his first pick of PF Flyers. I'm taking the obvious choice in going with Moon Shoes. Because...
The toy?
Because who wouldn't want to be able to jump so much higher with those moon shoes on, man? That might actually make me be able to dunk, probably. Probably not, but, you know. I'm surprised moon shoes wasn't taken already.
One of the most disappointing things that ever happened to me in my life was actually getting a crack at those things, and my feet were too big for them. So my toes were hitting the plastic on the front, so I didn't even know what it was like to jump through. I mean, I always thought I could get up onto the roof if I had a pair of those things.
Good one. I got some back-to-back picks here. The one shoe that I'm going to pick is, back in the day, Latrell Sprewell released a shoe that had, like, rim spinners on the side of them.
Uh-huh.
they were made by Dada.
Yeah. I remember those.
And those were so hot in, like, 7th or 8th grade that every single kid wanted them just because, the rims keep spinning when you're walking.
Yep.
Yeah.
Stop. So ridiculous. Such a Dada. Ridiculous concept.
Didn't it have, like, the crown or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
And the other one that I'm going to throw out there is the original, the Chuck Taylors.
Nice.
From the 70s. Once again, no ankle support, but, you know, if they're good enough for Larry Bird, they're good enough for me.
Yes.
Interesting that you went to Larry Bird.
Yeah. Huh. So with my second pick, I'm going to go with one that's more for the aesthetics and not necessarily the performance, but LA Lights. Because how badass would that look like on a court?
Man.
Duncan just...
That would be sweet.
And like my intro, when they would announce my name, all the lights would just go out. And I would run out and you would just see the lights kind of lighting up as I ran out on the court.
Nice.
Yeah.
They would just see a tumbling mess of lights when you tripped.
Yeah.
All right. For my second pick, I would say the Shaq shoes. The Shaq brand shoes.
Those are on my list.
they started to knock off, I don't know if they always have, but recently they had knocked off different Jordan models, or the Jordan shoes, so they were essentially, they were just blatant ripoffs of Jordan shoes with the Shaq logo on them, so.
I loved it when Shaq went after Big Baller Brand for, you know, he's like, this is what a real man does for the kids, you know, making $30 shoes instead of $500 shoes.
Right.
Yeah. Fucking Shaq.
I've got, back-to-back picks coming up. I am going to go, just because it would be like my ritual every time I did a free throw, the BK Ratchtex. I would tighten up my Ratchtex.
Nice.
Just to get that internal microphone hit me on the foul line and you just hear. So I'm going with the BK Ratchtex. And then with my last pick, I am going with Soaps. The shoes for skateboarders with the grind plate on.
Oh, nice.
Just because I never fit into a pair growing up, but I figure if I'm like a billionaire, like most, I figure off I'm a billionaire, like most of the NBA players are, I could probably get Soaps to come back and make me a size big enough for my foot.
I thought you were going to get the wheelies.
Yeah.
That'd make dribbling so much easier.
Yeah. Heelys, those are on my, that's on my honorable mentions.
I had the BK, the British Knights. I just had the general. I didn't have
the Ratchtex. It's my childhood. It was like every other commercial on Nickelodeon when I was growing up.
All right. I'm going to go with one here that I thought for sure Woody was going to steal. And I am going to go with the Big Baller Brand shoes.
That was my next one. I was going to cue up the Mellow Ball 1 song.
Oh, I'm sorry.
NBA1's on, y'all ain't ready.
Now it's stuck in your head, right?
Yeah.
You hear it one time. I don't know. Lonzo didn't look too smooth playing in those in the summer league.
No.
That's why I'm waiting for the Mellow Balls to come out. I'm sure they'll be a lot more better constructed.
Yep. Mellow ones.
That's a good one. My last pick, I'm going barefoot because man was designed not to be wearing shoes. Shoes are a social construct designed by the man to keep us down. So I'm at my fastest. I can jump my highest and move my quickest when I don't have any shoes on at all. So I'm going barefoot.
Your ideas intrigue me, and I'd like to subscribe to your newsletter. So wait, are you talking about like the barefoot shoes for running?
No, I'm not wearing any shoes.
Good, because you would have been a weirdo if you would have chose the, you know, I don't even know what they're called, but they have like
they were proven to make you run better, but big surprise that came out that wasn't true.
Yeah. To end us here, I'm gonna go with a classic. I'm going to put on a pair of the Reebok pumps.
Nice.
And
nice.
Just...
I want the pump!
They're going to make me jump higher.
Those things are awesome, though.
And then when you get mad, you can just kind of like pump it up as much as you can until it explodes.
Just to make a that? Point.
I saw it in a movie once.
It happened
once.
In a movie,
I forget what movie it was.
I think it was in Encino Man or something.
Was it?
Like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
Brendan Fraser.
I
Whatever
had
happened
a,
to that guy?
I know.
They're trying to cast him in Star Wars.
Really?
Oh, really?
No, I forget who it was. Somebody on Twitter. I forget who it is. Someone random on Twitter that always gets retweeted in my timeline is trying to make a plea for Brendan Fraser to be in the new Star Wars. I don't know why. I don't know. I had a couple honorable mentions. One of mine, DB kind of just stole it, but I was going to jokingly just say Reeboks.
Yeah.
Trash.
Yeah. But,
and then I'm surprised no one took this since it was the inspiration, the Starberries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Starberries are good. One brand from our childhood that I remember wanting a pair but never got them was a pair of Fila's.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
I feel like those were popular. And the And One shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting to say I had the And One. I had the Glen Rice, Nautica shoes from the 90s.
Nautica did come out with a pair
Nautica's
of shoes.
Because Nautica is just funny to think of as a basketball shoe.
Yeah.
I had the Adidas T-Mac 4s. They're just really, they had a bunch of straps on them and were kind of weird looking.
And
I said Dada's jokingly before we started.
Yeah.
No, Chris Weber had the Dada C4s.
And Spreewell spinners were fucking awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had a handful of honorable mentions, actually. My first one is a pair of all-black Allen Edmonds Park Avenues. So it's a dress shoe, so it's not going to have much traction on the court, but you're going to look damn good in it. Those things are some high-quality leather, nice leather soles. So I'm going to look good on the court no matter what. Next one I had, kind of going the opposite direction, just a pair of Crocs because I want to be comfortable out there.
Your feet would be destroyed.
So the, my next honorable mention, this is more for performance. I think I'd be a hell of a lot faster with these on. Some Lightning TRS rollerblades from the 1990s with the like the like neon green straps. Yeah.
Yes.
And then my last one is just I'm gonna preemptively wear a walking boot because if I tried to play basketball right now, I would definitely break my ankles. So I'm just gonna put the boot on preemptively.
That's smart. Smart. That is smart. Be proactive.
All right. Oh shit.
Well, hopefully by the time you're listening to this, you'll be pre-gaming, drinking, getting ready for a Bengals victory.
Hooday.
Yes. But be sure to hit us up on Twitter at @MillIronSports. Let us know if there's any shoes that we miss that you'd rather wear than Under Armour shoes. Check us out on the website, MillIronSports.com. You can always like our page on Facebook, Facebook.com/MillIronSports. On Twitter, on the main MillIron account, is all of our individual handles in the bio. And also be sure to rate, review, subscribe to the podcast.
I've seen a lot of questions directed towards us about this on Twitter. So I want to alleviate anybody's concerns. Obviously, Apple had their big announcement on Tuesday, and everybody's been asking, if I get that new iPhone X, am I still going to be able to get the Natty Boys podcast? And yes, the Natty Boys podcast will still be available on the iPhone X, even though it's a much more expensive high-tech phone. You know, we don't discriminate. I know a lot of people say you guys are, you know, blue-collar working-class guys. So if a rich elitist like me wants to continue listening to your podcast, can I do that on my iPhone X? And the answer is yes. You can get it across all Apple brands. If you have anything Android, then
you're kind of fucked.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's I don't know why. I mean, you make poor life decisions.
You should have gone to college.
You have a lot bigger problems than where you're going to listen to Natty Boys. So
we don't associate with pores.
Yeah, exactly.
We're the upper blue collar class.
Yeah.
Thanks for checking us out. Enjoy your 1-1 Bengals. We'll have a full recap of the NFL Sunday. And we'll celebrate my 1-1 game lead over everybody in football picks.
Kobe.